You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following is a special broadcast of the Lutheran Hour, a living nativity from Australia titled Outback Christmas.
This nativity scene is not a description of the way most Australians celebrate the Christmas story. Rather, it's an original attempt to depict the story of Jesus' birth in an Australian setting. For centuries, Christians all over the world have portrayed Jesus in a form that's familiar to them, a form that helps them relate to him more closely. The scenes and characters of the great artists of the world do not normally make Mary and Jesus look like Jews living in Palestine, but like people from their own traditional past. So we find Italian nativity scenes where Mary is an Italian Madonna, and African nativity scenes where Jesus is a black African baby. Outback Christmas is an Australian nativity scene, which seeks to capture the message of Jesus' birth in the colours and images of Australia. That message is the same no matter where the story is set. The message that God became a human being like each of us, that we might be reconciled to God. In this nativity scene, characters like Mary and Joseph are traditional figures from the Australian past. And since Christmas for Australians is celebrated in the heat of summer, the scene is not one of snowfields and blazing log fires, but of summer heat, bushfires, and brown paddocks scorched by hot north winds. You are invited to visit the manger of Jesus with us as we present portions of Outback Christmas, a new Australian nativity scene in song and verse.
I'll tell the story of Christmas outback when Jesus the bushman was born. A story of Mary and Joseph and Jesus, good people like us from the bush. Good people like us from the bush. Born behind Bethlehem's barn, a boy who was born to be king of the bush, and die for his mates in the end. He would die for his mates in the end.
Our story begins with a bush carpenter called Joseph and a quiet girl called Mary, simple country folk from the bush.
I was just an ordinary bloke before the baby came, and I still am. I never looked down on any man, though men have laughed at me for what's happened. My hands are torn by the sharp wood and rough tools of a country carpenter, but I never looked down on anyone, especially a girl like Mary. I told her once that when she grew older, we could perhaps get married. Then, one cruel afternoon, with a hot north wind like fire, I found her in the family way. The pain in my chest was burning me as if a spike had ruptured my lung. God only knows how she came by the child. I swear I never touched her. Not me. Not Joseph the carpenter. But I did the right thing by her, and no one can say I didn't. Then the baby came. Beautiful.
I am Mary, a quiet country girl, caught in a web of anxious dreams. I have heard tall tales of bunyips, devil dogs, and ghosts waiting in the bush shadows to scare the wits from a child. Yet When the bush angel appeared, it seemed kind. A slim brown figure dancing with smiles before me, like a lyrebird framed in a silhouette of fire. "Don't be afraid," the angel said. "You have been chosen by God to have a child called Jesus. He will be God's son, son of the Silent One high above." I quivered in fear, like a lost baby bird. "How?" I whispered. "How can I have a child when I don't even have a husband?" "A shadow will hover over you one night," the angel said. "A spirit from the dreaming will plant a seed within you, a spirit from God himself. In time, you will have his son." The angel's words terrified me. I clutched my virgin womb and held it tightly, afraid of the cold unknown about to pierce my body.
Mary's cousin Elizabeth also lives in the bush. She is pregnant with her son John when Mary comes to visit her.
"It's been a hard life, I'm not complaining, but I've often known a bitter taste of death. And I've been lonely and also weary, but I've had to battle on with every breath.
Cousin Mary walked that day across the bare brown paddocks, snarling beneath a summer haze. "Liz," she called, "how are you? It's really good to see you." Her words sent a rush of life speeding through my body and deep into my womb. The baby broke his 6 months' sleep and leaped in arms of gentle thunder. Tears flowed down my cheeks and I could not contain myself. "Mary, Mary, you are the one. You have been chosen by God. Your child will be his son." Oh, it was wonderful that day, being a woman. Knowing my child was alive, knowing I was not alone. In the distance, too, the thunder spoke of an end to the taste of drought.
After the birth of a son called John to Elizabeth and her husband Zachariah, the governor of the land sent out word that people like Mary and Joseph should go to Bethlehem to register their names. The pub where Mary and Joseph sought lodgings in Bethlehem was a typical outback watering hole with a typical bush pub owner.
A country pub is not a proper place for women. The last place on earth to try and have a kid. So when Mary and her tired old man arrived that night, I rustled up a bed of straw out in the shed. I run the country pub in outback Bethlehem. home away from home, the stockman in the state. When the picnic races stir the dust out here, a man will ride 100 miles to meet his mate. I should have heard the cursing from the stockman when I said we have a pregnant woman with the horses in the stalls. You should have seen them drinking, mate, and heard them sing off key. Why was he born so beautiful? Why was he born at all? I wondered if Mary's child belonged out here. He may as well be born among the mulga bush out back. Yet Mary seemed a sister to all who found her in the shed, and Jesus seemed a brother to drinkers, drovers, blacks.
In a shed at the back of the Bethlehem pub, the baby Jesus was born. Mary remembers that night with a deep and painful joy.
After the long, anxious ride through the smothering heat to Bethlehem, after the long, loud night of shouting stockmen in the pub, of brave old drinkers hanging on, of shearers telling wild tales, of endless bawdy bush songs, after the last slow dingo howl, the last call of a hopeful bird, the last long, vicious pain that broke my body open, was silent. In the silence of dawn, Jesus burst from my body, gasping for life and shedding his robe of blood. Joseph grasped the warm child, cut the pulsing cord that still bound me to my son, and wiped the blood from his face. We wrapped strips of torn cloth around his soft, shivering body and laid him in a feed box where the horses eat their hay. The silence was broken. My son had been born, and God was a parent at last.
While Mary was giving birth to Jesus in the shed behind Bethlehem's pub, there were tough stockmen nearby seated round their campfire deep in the mallee scrub. That night, they stared at the sky as they never had before.
When stockmen like us stare late into the fire at night and poke the smoking mallee roots, we know no fear of dark. We tell our tales of courage, crossing floods, defying storms and fighting fires in the bush until our eyes are blind with smoke. We know no fear of man or beast, bush ranger or ghost. Yet the night the angels hit the camp, they scared us half to death. A stranger wandered through the trees from deep within the scrub. Round him hovered orange light, the light we see when bushfire smoke smothers out the sun and turns the brown land orange grey. I have a message, said the stranger, about a baby born tonight. You'll find the child wrapped up in rags and lying in a feed box in a stable back of town. This outback boy, my friends, is born to be your king, a bushman sent from God. A frenzy filled the sky, like a bushfire roaring overhead, as flames of angels spat through space and sang their blazing song of glory to God on high
and peace to folk on earth. None of us has been the same since the angels hit the camp that night and put the fear of God in us.
We found the baby Jesus wrapped in strips of rag and lying in a feed box in a shed. His hands were red, newborn red. His hands were newborn red. So we told the world about him, Jesus way out back. We said that God was crying in a shed. His flesh was red, like ours was red. His flesh like ours was red.
Deep in the outback, there were wise old drovers who had been travelling the roads for years and wondering about the promise of God. This is their account of the day they took a gamble, left their droving, and followed a star in the outback heavens.
We were fooled.
Wise old fools, sailing out at night into the treacherous wilderness like the dazed explorers before us. The shadows of death were watching, and the biting sun, the scorching ants, the wild devil dog, the wide dry water holes, the salt bush wastes, and the bones. The bones. Like shining markers reflecting the light of the star ahead, exposed the white bone road to hollow dreams. Was the star a trick, a twist of light, turning our minds to follow like the tip of some diviner's rod? Was it a midnight mirage, a blind man's hallucination, a brilliant bird? We never knew. We left our mates unrolling their swags beside a beckoning fire. Bet you never make it alive, the lead drover yelled. Bet you 10 beers we do, we each in turn replied. With a smell of cold ale in our teeth, we rode into the dry desert night following our star, our bold stroke of hope.
A boy born in a country pub, a boy as poor as any unknown child, lost in the manly scrub.
The drovers, following their wild star, went to a large country town outback to confer with the governor in charge. They wanted to know where the new bush baby could be found. This is Herod's reaction to the story of the outback drovers and their tale of a star.
They were only a mob of stirrers, deluded drovers from way out back. They came in breathing dust and sweat from riding hard through sun-baked sands and following a sleepless star, or so they tried to say. They were searching for some local kid to be their drover king, the latest thing in petty outback politics. I had to humour them. I called a special meeting of the ranking religious in town to check the size of the dream. They believed a king would be born in a small bush town called Bethlehem. Bethlehem? Absurd! Bethlehem, where the goats outnumber the people and the gossips outdo the goats. I had to humour them. I poured a glass of the best red to wet the baby's head and another glass for the road. I told them to keep me informed of the state of play in Bethlehem so I could do the right thing and pay my respects to the boy, which I fully intended to do. But the rotters never returned, and something had to be done. We cannot have strangers trooping through town in search of a kid with a crown and stirring a shearer's revolt. Someone has to keep order in this God-forsaken plot of land. So I sent my men out to pick up any suspicious babies in the outlying country towns and crush this talk of a king before it turned to treason. I mean, something had to be done. Someone had to make a decision. So I killed the little brats.
When the wise old drovers followed their star to where Mary and Joseph and Jesus lived, this is what they found, and this is their song.
There he was, the kid, the king. Yes, there he was, a clumsy, crinkly-faced Christ, kicking his tiny feet in the air and poking his fingers into his mother's face. What do you say to a kid from God? Your tiny highness, welcome to the bush. Glad you could join us. Hope you had a good trip. What do you give to a kid from God? Here is a nugget from the gold rush days. It's a beauty that my father found. It looks a little green, but it's gold inside. Perhaps you could make a crown. Here is a nice drop of vintage port I collected on the southern run. I was saving it for some sort of special day. It'll keep till you're 21. This here is the height of the wannabe. I damned it through the winter days. I know it smells a bit like tanning, but that'll keep all the margins away. This is a stone with secret signs for we who are the blacks know well that you have the spirit of the crying tree. From the dreaming tracks you crossed, we can tell.
Mary and Joseph were warned in a dream that Herod wanted to kill the bush baby. So they fled deep into the scrub until Herod died. When they returned home from the outback scrub, home to their family in Nazareth, the wattle trees and the lyre birds sang a song of welcome. Their song is one we all sing at Christmas, a song of hope to each other, and a song of faith to the Christ child as we ask, will you be coming home this Christmas?
Coming home this Christmas, before this lonely year is done, will you be born a child among us to make a family one? Will you be driving through the across the waste where dingoes reign?
The message of Christmas is a message of good news. That good news is the same whether you're sitting on top of Ayers Rock, in the Sydney Opera House, in Outback Australia, America, or wherever. It's the good news of the gospel. It's the good news that to you is born a Saviour, Christ the Lord. That good news is desperately needed, whether it's by tough stockmen, wise old drovers, city slickers, sophisticated business people, or whomever. All need that good news. That's the reason Jesus was born. He was born for a world willing to ruin itself because it had cut itself off from God. He was born for stubborn people going their own way rather than God's way. He was born for a people up in arms and revolt against their Maker. He was born to rescue a people unable to rescue themselves. He was born for you. This is the message of Christmas. This is why we sing in song and in life. A song of glory and praise was sung to God that first Christmas, and God's people down through the ages have sung the praises of Him who loved us so much, He sent Jesus as a sacrifice for us, so that whoever believes in Him will not die, but have eternal life. We sing those praises of God today for His great rescue. We sing them with conventional carols and traditional hymns. We sing those praises in contemporary song and modern verse form. God is so great, and the good news of Christmas so glorious, that we continually seek new ways of expressing our praise and thanksgiving. What we ask of you, together with the people of Australia, outback or otherwise, is to sing the praises of Him who came so that we might live forever. The song, "Will You Be Coming Home This Christmas?" is also an invitation to you to come home. Come home to God where you belong. It's an invitation to turn from your own self-centered ways where you sing your own praises and turn to Him to sing His praises for the gift of a Saviour. Come home this Christmas to celebrate the greatest good news anyone can ever hear. Jesus Christ is born, the Saviour of the world.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Outback Christmas. It was produced in its entirety by Lutheran Radio and TV of North Adelaide, Australia. The Reverend Trevor Roy delivered the Christmas message you heard just a few moments ago. As a Christmas gift from Outback Christmas, we'd like to send you an attractive Christmas ornament made in Australia. It's a brightly colored plaque featuring two boomerangs, a koala bear, and the scripture verse, "My word shall not return to me empty." To receive your complimentary ornament, simply write to this address, The Lutheran Hour, St. Louis, Missouri, 63139. Outback Christmas was a special production of The Lutheran Hour, brought to you by the International Lutheran Layman's League, in cooperation with the Radio and Television Department of the Lutheran Church of Australia.